Tom Entinger and Orna Kupperman, and I'll speak about enriching temporal specifications with accumulative values. So what do we want to enrich? The current paradigm of model checking, of verification, is to get a Boolean system like this Kripke structure, and it's Boolean because it has Boolean variables and some specification, possibly with temporal logic, speaking about these Boolean variables, either a linear temporal logic or branching temporal logic as CTL. As we are going to speak a little about temporal logic, let's recall what these letters stand for. So G stands for globally, which means always, and F for future, which is eventually. So with linear temporal logics, we want all computations of this Kripke structure to satisfy the formula, which means that always, once we see P, P is true, then eventually Q is true. So does our simple Kripke structure satisfy this formula? Well, I'll wait. I won't continue until you tell me. You have 50% to be right, if you guess. All right, I heard yes in the audience. So this is true, because always once we see P, we are either at the upper state or at the left state, and then eventually we must see Q, because either we see it at the same state or the next one, and also P, also here we'll see it in the next state. So that's linear temporal logic. With branching temporal logic as CTL, we may also speak about the different branching of the computations. So E stands for exists a path, exists a computation, and A, all computations, while X is for next. So this says that there exists a computation in which we see Q, Q is true, and all further computations, the next state as P. So does our Kripke structure satisfy this CTL formula? No. Right, it's no. Okay, so I see that everyone is familiar with this current paradigm. And indeed, this paradigm is very useful and very nice, but it has a significant limitation that it only speaks about Boolean variables. And in recent years, there's a growing effort to try to generalize it into quantitative systems, where we have numeric values and numeric specifications. As part of this effort, there are several works in which the specification is given by means of a weighted automaton, either for the energy objective, which means that if we sum up all these numeric values, for example, as with a battery that has positive values for charging and negative values for consumptions, we always want the battery to have some energy, so we always want the value to be positive. Or as the mean payoff that we heard of in the previous lecture, which is also called limit average, or with discounted summation, which is like the energy that we sum up all the values, but the longer it takes, then it less influences the total sum by a factor between 0 and 1, which decreases exponentially. So these specifications by means of a weighted automaton certainly goes beyond omega regular specifications. However, they have some limitations. First, it is given by means of automata, which are very not so friendly as specifications. And it is also not a specification language that we can have all the Boolean closure and to put together with the omega regular specifications. So what do we want? What is our goal that we want to search for? We want to enrich the standard temporal logics as LTL, CTL, and maybe something else with numeric assertions. So for example, speaking about this P and Q and that we always have a response and whatever, and in addition that the total energy is always positive and say our average income is eventually above 10,000. So that is our goal. So instead of model checking a Boolean system and the Boolean specification, we want to check a quantitative system and the quantitative specification, where the latter is given by means of temporal logic. What is a quantitative system? Very simple, like the standard Kripke structure, just instead of having Boolean variables, we have numeric variables u and v that may have 3 and 5 and whatever value. So one can correctly argue that generally systems have numeric values, and all the point with this Boolean variable is that we encode these numbers with Boolean variables. And then if we have some quantitative specification, as eventually v is smaller than 7, we can just represent it with the standard paradigm. Well, this is true, but only for properties which relate to the value at a certain point of time. For example, this simple assertion that v is smaller than 7. But once we introduce accumulation, like the energy objective, that we want the total sum of v to be smaller than 7, then the current paradigm no longer fits, because there are infinitely many possible values to the summation or to the average, and you cannot represent it with a finite number of Boolean variables. So our aim is to allow this assertion, and that therefore we look into the quantitative specification and relate to quantitative Kripke structures. In general, accumulation is really in the heart of quantitative specifications. Whether you look on the energy or mean payoff or discounted sum, they all have accumulation. And it is not by chance, because it allows one to look on an entire computation, either a prefix, if we look on the summation, that at every point it is less or more than a threshold, or on the entire computation, like the mean payoff. And it allows us to provide high-level specifications. So that's why we concentrate on the accumulative properties. What is the semantics that we're looking for? So we want to speak on this sum and average. So we have our numeric Kripke structure. And the semantics of the computation is the computation tree, an infinite tree. The value of V at the starting point is 3, and so is the summation and the average. The Kripke structure can go either to S2 or S3. If it goes to S2, then the summation is 3 minus 5, it is minus 2, and the average is minus 2 divided by 2 steps, which is minus 1. If it goes to S3, it is 3 plus 1, which is 4, that's the summation, and the average is 4 divided by 2, and so on. Okay, that's the semantics when we speak about sum and average. So we have a very specific goal. We want to take a standard temporal logic, as LTL, CTL, or whatever, and to add atomic assertions. In addition to P and Q, we also want that the summation of a numeric variable V is bigger or smaller than a specific threshold, and so is the average. And we would also like to compare between the summation or average of two numeric variables. So if you speak about LTL, for example, we would like to have something like, always, if we have P, then we have Q, or the total summation, say the energy is equal to 5, and the average cost, say, which is V, is smaller than 3, and so on. So we want to integrate it into temporal logic. A few words about the relation between average and sum. In this setting, they are actually interchangeable. We may choose either average or sum and express the other one with the one that we choose. So we choose to take sum, and how do we express average with sum? So if we have an assertion saying that average of a numeric variable V is bigger or equal to C, we can change, instead of putting V, we'll have V prime in our Kripke structure, while setting the value of V prime to be V minus C in all the states. And then, instead of asking that the average of V is bigger or smaller or equal to C, we can check whether the average of V prime is bigger or equal to 0. And once we ask about 0, we can change between average and sum. Another interesting point is that we do not need to handle the comparison between two variables. We can instead have a new variable, say D, for the difference between them, and in each state taking the difference between U and V, and then again compare against a constant threshold.
You don't allow saying limit average?
In the first part of the talk I do not, in the second part I do. Because you're certainly right, these assertions of average and sum speak about prefix accumulation. I'm only looking about what I have so far. And with the limit average, I should go further to infinity, and it is not covered with this paradigm, but I have a solution for limit average in the second part. So we even have a very, very specific question. We want to take LTL or CTL or whatever, and to add this very specific assertion, that the summation of a numeric variable V is bigger or equal to zero. And we would like to know whether it's still decidable, the model checking problem. We may even ask about the standard Boolean-Kripke structure and ask about the average of a Boolean variable P when we consider true as one and zero and false as zero, and ask whether in average we have more truth than false. So it boils down to the very same question, and we want to know whether it's decidable. So before you guess, the two of you who didn't read yet the paper, or the abstract at least, some hints to confuse you. Once we speak about the summation, about accumulative values, we no longer have a finite state system, because we have infinitely many values. And therefore, we go into the hazardous area of infinite systems, in which almost everything is undecidable. And in fact, a Kripke structure, a simple one, once we consider the summation of values, it's very similar to counter machines, except, of course, that the Kripke structure cannot change its behavior according to the summation, which is, of course, a crucial difference. And it is very, very similar to Petri nets, which are also like vector addition systems or vector addition system with states, with the only difference that such a Kripke such a Petri net or a vector addition system with states cannot continue with the computation once the summation is below zero, while our Kripke structures can. So of course for counter machines with at least two counter machines, all the relevant questions are undecidable, and also for Petri nets, the model checking problems are undecidable, as shown by Javier Esparza on 95. So what do we start with? The simple energy objective can be written as, in all computations, always the summation is bigger or equal to zero, and we know that it is decidable. The problem is that it has only a single variable, and we want multiple variables, and it is a standalone query, it's not a logic. One can first generalize it to have several variables. So here I put capital V for the summation of V, just to save space, and capital U for the summation of another variable U. And we can ask whether this is decidable. And note that it does add expressiveness. If we add here an AND, it is the same, but once we have an OR, it adds expressiveness, but it is still not a logic. So if we want a logic, we can jump high to CTL star, also take only branching temporal logic, or only linear temporal logic, or the fractions. If this is unified branching, I think, which is the CTL without until, or LTL without until, or even further go down to the logic called EF or UB minus, which is the next and eventually fragment, or its counterpart, with the next and always, or another one which is safety temporal logic, which is without the globally. So what is your guess? The three of you who didn't read the abstract. We know this is decidable. What about the rest? Do we stop here? Can we go further? So I won't wait for your guess. That's the answer. This is the exact fraction that is decidable. We may allow next and eventually, but we cannot allow neither always, until, not even release or weak until. So that's the fragment which is decidable. In a sense, it is the maximal temporal logic. Even if we take each of the other standard temporal logics alone, without the eventually, it is already undecidable. Some nice property. With this EF logic, we may even further enrich it. So once we allow accumulation, one may require a controlled accumulation. It doesn't want to accumulate the values all over the run, but only once specific conditions are met. For example, within a transaction, or something that turns out to be solvable in this way. Someone wants to have the average response time between a request and the grant. So you have Boolean variables in the standard Boolean paradigm of P and Q, and you say that always, if you see P, you eventually see Q, where P is the request and Q is the grant. But you also want to know the average response time. How long does it take between a P and the Q? So you can formulate it with this. So the general assertion that we're allowed to put into the logic is to have the summation of a numeric variable V, while the summation is taken only once a regular expression R1 is met. And this is divided by the summation of another variable U, which is taken only when another regular expression is met. So one can see that the simple average is having 1 at the bottom instead of U, and the regular expression is true. And here you have just V without the regular expression, so that gives you the average of V. And the average response time, you can take the summation of 1 only once you are between a request and a grant, and you can have divided by the number of times that you get into the response. So this is still decidable with the EF logic. To summarize this first part, we may add accumulative propositions or assertions into the EF logic. It significantly enriches the currently known energy objectives and even things related to average response time and controlled accumulation. On the negative side, we cannot handle always or eventually always, and specifically we cannot capture the limit average, as Rajiv mentioned earlier. So that's to summarize, and after 15 minutes I can tell you what is the agenda for this talk. So the first part was this accumulative values, which relate to the prefix of the computation. And if time permits, I will show you a bit of the proofs. And the different approaches to handle the limit average to add this into temporal logics. So let's speak about the second part, the temporal logics with limit average. As mentioned in the previous talk, limit average intuitively says that we want the average in the long run. But such a limit does not exist. And here's an example why it cannot exist. Because, for example, I have a computation which goes between the state Q and Q prime, and I can visit exponentially more times in the next state each time that I flip. And then I infinitely often get closer to 3 and closer to 5, and I never converge. So the usual approach is to take either the infimum, as done in the previous talk, or the supremum, and sometimes we do need both of them. In the next slide, when I will just write limit average, I mean that it works for both limit infimum and limit supremum average. Since limit average is a path property, it relates to the entire path, it very well fits into an LTL formula. So we would like to have something like having the limit average of a numeric variable x to ask whether it's bigger or smaller than, bigger or equal to a constant threshold, and to put it inside an LTL. So here we want both limit infimum and limit supremum. So we would like to say something like, eventually P implies that the limit average of X is 5 or whatever. So is it decidable? What do you guess now? Well, yes, it is. And it is actually, the proof is based on the paper of Rajiv Alur and others. Some technical details, some of them not so technical. Let's start with part one. Any questions before we get into the proofs? So recall what we want to prove. We want to prove that once we allow temporal logic with the summation and average of a numeric variable, it is undecidable for all these logics, while it is decidable for the EF logic. We'll start with the undecidability proof, which is nice and simple, and I can say it because it is based on the proof of someone else, of Javier Esparza from 95. It is a reduction from the two-counter machine halting problem. The decidability proof, which I'll probably not show you here, is based on formulating both the model and the specification in Pressburger arithmetic and solving it. Of course, it's nice, but it's much less simple. So let's do the undecidability proof, which is short and nice. Let's recall what a counter machine is. It has five possible commands, as illustrated in this simple program. The most important one is the conditional jump, that if x is equal to 0, which x is a counter, then go to some line, let's say L5, else go to L2. So here I have two counters, x and y. I can decrease the counter by 1, I can increase it by 1, and I can have an unconditional jump and a halt program. So that's counter machines. One can see that a Kripke structure and the counter machine are very, very similar. If I neglect the very important conditional jump, then the simulation is straightforward. I have five commands, so I have five states. If I have a jump from S4 to S, from L4 to L1, I jump from S4 to S1. And if I decrease the counter, I decrease my numeric variable. If I increase my counter, I increase my numeric variable, and the halt is a state that stays in itself. But of course, the main problem is with the conditional jump. So what do I have with the Kripke structure? I have non-determinism. So naively, one could simulate conditional jump with non-determinism. But of course, it is wrong, because non-determinism can jump whenever we want. But once we have our model checking specification, we may ensure that the jump is done correctly. Because if we allow in the specification the always, the globally, the G, then we can ask that always, once we do the jump, we do it properly. So here I have Boolean variables, XZ and XP. XZ means that X is 0, and XP means that the numeric variable P is positive. And then I can say that always my run is proper, meaning that if I'm in XZ, then the counter X is 0, and if I'm in XP, the counter X is positive. And then I have only a single proper run, because the counter machine is deterministic. And I can put in the specification that exists a path, exists a computation which is proper, and which is always proper, and halts. So that's how we show that the once we allow summation or average in the specification, and we have the globally, then it is undecidable. A very same trick can be done with the until, just giving a bit different specification, while the weak until and release are directly followed from the globally. That's it. Thank you. I didn't understand. Can you repeat? You mean all configurations if it's a linear temporal logic, and you speak about the all the computations? So it depends. If it's a linear temporal logic, you speak about all the computations. If it's a branching temporal logic, you may specify exists a path or all paths. So this proof relates to the branching temporal logic, which we specify whether all paths or exists a path. Yes? AG greater than 0?
Simple example,
All right, how, that's the of the decidability with the Presburger arithmetic. So I do have a few minutes. So here's the decidability. So how do I do it? I'll say in a few minutes and see if it's understandable enough. So I have a cryptic structure with values in the states. Okay, so if I have U and V, I have U and V in the states. Technically, I put it on the edges just to have it more convenient. Then I define a Presburger arithmetic formula in which I count the number of times that I go into the edges. I want to solve the eventually exist something. So it, if it eventually happens, it happens after a finite number of steps. All right, so I want, I'll even use the board. I have my Kripke structure with the U equals 3 and V equals 5. So first I put it on into the edges, so there's U 3 and V 5. I remove it from the states. And that's my edge E1, and that's another edge E2, and so on. And I want to formulate a formula in Presburger arithmetic saying how many times I go through E1 and E2, and so on. So each of them, let's say that x1 is the number, let's say xi, the number of times in ei. Okay, and so on. And the solution of the Presburger arithmetic formula will be the number of times that I go through the edges in order to satisfy the formula. So that's the defined Presburger arithmetic. Xi stands for the edge EI. Now, the summation is very simple. Let's say that you want the that the sum of U is smaller than 5 and the sum of V is bigger than 3. So you may the total summation of the value of U with x and of phi is according to this. This is very simple to formulate with the Presburger arithmetic. The thing that is tricky is how do you make sure that it is in a connected path. No, the spaza was the undecidability. Yeah, so you can put in this formula something also that we have, that the number of times that you get into a state equals to the number of times that you get out of the state. So that's how you ensure cycles. And then what we did, and it might not be optimal, but it shows decidability, we look on all the segments, all the sub paths that you can do along the automaton, but we don't care how many times you do each, just the subsets of edges that you take. And this you can also formulate with Presburger arithmetic, but you use only E2 and E3, say? Okay. Only these edges? Yeah, you may guess, but if you don't want to guess, you have exponentially many subsets that you can use. And you say that each time you use a specific segment, and then you get the desired value. So that's how. But here it's nice to see that with the existing path, it works with Presburger arithmetic. Because for existing paths, you have finitely many steps that you do. So there is a finite solution to this formula. While with globally, that it no longer works because you don't have, if it globally, the path is infinite and you cannot say with Presburger arithmetic that always your path is fulfilling this specification. Thank you.